Shoes.
Recorded live.
Grace and peace, everyone. We'd like to thank you for joining us tonight to the School of Wisdom. I'm your host, Apostle Keith Davis of Keith Davis Ministries and Outreach of Soldiers of the Cross Ministries. Tonight, we'll be talking about the three realms of wisdom. You know, wisdom has some major parts inside of our life, major compartments, and wisdom itself, it's not just one embodiment, but it actually has three different compartments. We're going to talk about that tonight. So join me as I share some music with you from J. Thomas of IHOP International.
Give us joy, you are.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. Hallelujah. For he is our Most High God, Almighty God. We thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight, for you joining us in our School of Wisdom. My name is Apostle Keith Davis of Keith Davis Ministries, Outreach of Soldiers of the Cross Ministries International. Hallelujah. And tonight, we're going to talk on the three realms of wisdom. You know, there's three distinct areas when it comes to talking about the wisdom. Understanding each area is very important as a Christian believer, as a human being on this planet and knowing which one to apply, where and when. So I'd like to welcome all of you once again for joining us tonight in our School of Wisdom. Let's go into prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for this opportunity once again to relay your will, your purpose, your plan, and to understand you. Lord, let the spirit of wisdom rest on us tonight with understanding, illuminate our eyes, that we may be able to comprehend you even to another dimension, another atmosphere inside of your kingdom. We decree all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless God for you. Once again, we thank all of you for joining us tonight. Let's go into our first area of scripture, and let's deal with the first place of wisdom, Luke 11 and 49. Luke chapter 11, verse 49. And this first area of wisdom is called Sophia wisdom. This first area of wisdom is called Sophia wisdom. In Luke 11 and 49, it reads, "Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute." Matthew 23 and 34 says, "Therefore I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify, others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town." Hallelujah, praise the Lord. When we talk about Sophia wisdom, we're talking about one distinctive area of wisdom, and that area of wisdom is considered to be higher or lower worldly or spiritual wisdom. It's a broad and full of intelligence. It's the kind of wisdom that's used in very diverse matters. So it's the broad wisdom. It stretches out and understands all things and has certain levels of compartments in that wisdom. One way that it's been described, Marilyn Hickey describes it as the big picture wisdom. It's like the foundation of your house. This is the gift God gives all of us from childhood, that we may dream what we will be when we grow up, you know, to continue to use in later years. So it's a wisdom that causes us to see the big picture. You know, in the prophetic realm, it might be considered where you see into the future, where you plan into the future. I know apostles are planners, and they don't plan for the moment. A lot of times they plan for future times. They see things coming from a distance off, and that's a compartment of Sophia wisdom, because it's a wisdom that gives you the big picture. It's a wisdom like a foundation. So we know it's a very important part of the apostolic and prophetic office, as the scripture describes, God sending wise men, and that wisdom was placed inside of, you know, it was picturized, I should say, inside of those offices. So in this area of wisdom, you know, it's the thing that causes you to plan, you know, in our life, any kind of business planning, even in our homes. You know, if we have come across any dimension in life, we're usually taught to have a short-term goal and a long-term goal. And that Sophia wisdom, it deals with that long-term goal. You know, it's very broad. You know, the insight and the planning that you plan into a future happenings, you're going to be dealing with Sophia wisdom. And it's really important to understand the difference, so you know what wisdom you're applying, so that you don't misappropriate your understanding. I know quite often we get misunderstandings or miscommunications with one with each other in the body of Christ, and that comes out of not knowing which wisdom that a person is using. Now, we know in James 3 and 17, that's kind of the base of this school of wisdom that I refer to a lot And I want to go back to that in reference right now. James 3:17 tells you the heavenly kind of wisdom, the kind of wisdom, you know, that comes from God, that comes from heaven. In James 17, it makes it very plain on this type of wisdom. Let me get to the scripture real quick. James 3:17. In James 3:17, it says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." So every time you're talking about wisdom, as we're distinctifying three areas of its operation, you're still going to have those eight compartments within that wisdom if it's from God. Hallelujah. You're going to always have those compartments, you know, within the midst of it if it's a wisdom that comes from God. So we find here in Luke 11:49, we find Jesus talking about, the writer talking about, the wisdom that God sends when he sent his prophets and his apostles. He sent them forth with the big picture wisdom. You know, when Jesus sent the 12 out in Matthew chapter 10, he sent them out with the big picture. He told them what not to take. He gave them instruction on how they were to be received, and he empowered them to go out and to operate. And so they had a big picture of wisdom. They knew the full plan. They knew the full purpose on why they were going out. There wasn't a question on why. You know, sometimes we try to understand the vision that God has given us as far as of him, what he would have us do in our call and in our walk, and sometimes we don't understand the big picture. And that's identifying we're not understanding the Sophia wisdom of God. We're not understanding the fullness and the foundation of what's going to make everything else that works within that wisdom work. Hallelujah. You know, we also find in our readings when we deal with wisdom, we also find that by the wisdom of God, here is undoubtedly meant the Savior himself. You know, when we talk about the big picture wisdom, we talk about the broad, the futuristic, the expansive, we are talking about John 1:1 that refers to, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and in fact, the Word is God. You know, we're talking about Christ. We're talking about the Savior. What he immediately says in this context is not written in the Old Testament. Jesus is called the Word of God in John 1:1, as I just quoted, because he is the medium by which God speaks or makes his will known. He is called the wisdom of God because by him God makes his wisdom known in creation. So when we talk about the big picture, Sophia wisdom, we're talking about everything that we see in its vastness, that not each compartment on how it was put together, but seeing the fullness all laid out. Christ was a demonstration of God's fullness, his love for us, completely laid out. Even as he was stretched out on the cross, it was a picture of God's wisdom completely laid out to us. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so that's our first area of wisdom that we talk about tonight. It also displays that in this wisdom, this interpretation of the word is agreeable to that of Matthew, who makes Jesus speak in his own person. Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets, Matthew 23:24, you know, which we read earlier. You know, God distinctified his prophets and his apostle as sending his big picture. My God, when God sends the sent ones, when he sends his mouthpieces, God is sending the big picture. We speak in part, but we're speaking to the big picture. We represent the big picture. You know, the scripture says that God does nothing except for he reveals to his prophets. Then he identifies the apostles as being sent ones with special, as a special messenger. And then the scripture lets us to know that the foundation is laid by the apostles and the prophets with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah. So when we deal with Sophia Wisdom, we're dealing with big picture. We're dealing with the whole matter. You know, you've ever had someone explain their vision or explain a business plan to you, you know, you say, okay, can you write that down and break that down for me? You know, but when they presented that whole picture, they was giving you Sophia Wisdom. They was giving you the broad, the fullness of it. They were giving you the full dimension, you know, of that wisdom and the insight of that wisdom. Hallelujah. It also says that Sophia Wisdom is the varied knowledge of things human and divine, acquired by acuteness, experience, and summed up in maxims and proverbs. It's also the science and learning, the act of interpreting dreams and always giving the best advice, the intelligence evidence in discovering the meaning of some mysterious number or vision, skill in the management of affairs. It's always the wisdom that allows you to see the whole big picture. It's a big picture wisdom. Hallelujah. Supreme intelligence, such as belongs to God, the knowledge and practice of the requisites for godly and upright living. It gives the big picture on even how we live upright and godly, even as it pertains to, you know, holy living. Hallelujah. So this wisdom is a very important compartment of us as Christian believers to operate and to know about Sophia Wisdom. We've got to be able to see the big picture. Without seeing the big picture, then we can't understand the other wisdoms that I'm about to explain, the compartments within that wisdom, of the next compartments of wisdom that causes things to be able to happen and flow in a smooth manner. So it's very important to understand Sophia Wisdom. We've got to see the big picture. Christ gave us the big picture of God's heart and his will for us. We've got to be able to see and understand the big picture before we can move to the next place. It's so important to understand the big picture. Matter of fact, when God speaks to us, the vision inside of us, God does not tell us the little parts. Notice that. He tells us the big picture. So he speaks to us from Sophia Wisdom. Hallelujah. And then we have to ask the Lord, when we're talking about the spirit of wisdom, when we're asking God for the spirit of wisdom, within that, then we get the next component. And that next component of wisdom that we're sharing tonight is called phronesis wisdom, P-H-R-O-N-E-S-I-S, phronesis wisdom. Phronesis wisdom is a wisdom that's described as a wisdom of understanding, a mental action or activity, intellectual or moral insight, prudence. It's more described, you know, I've read certain things from Merlin Hickey, so you might hear me refer to that tonight. It's a how-to wisdom. You know, it's one of the wisdoms that's described that in a lot of the teaching, as example, a person like Mike Murdoch, a lot of his wisdom is how-to. You know, he describes the wisdom that he's learned. He said people ask him how you get so much wisdom. He said, because I was so stupid, identifying as being unwise. And so he has a lot of how-to wisdom, how you do this, how you write a book, how you do that. You know, it's a how-to wisdom. So it's important after we have the Sophia Wisdom, after we see the big picture, God has given you that vision for your ministry. He's given you that assignment as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever capacity or any of the other gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, ministry of helps, ministry of administration. He gives you the full picture of what you're called to do. Now you need to know how to carry it out. You need to know whether you need to get some more experience. You need to know whether you need to do some more study, some in-depth study, how far you need to study before you're able to actually operate in that area that God has called you to or commissioned you to. Hallelujah. So phronesis wisdom is a how-to wisdom. It's not much good without the purpose established by Sophia Wisdom. But Sophia will not be accomplished without phronesis wisdom. So that's why I tell you, they join together. They actually connect together. You can't have one operating well without also having the other one in operation. Hallelujah. You know, it also describes this wisdom as prudence. You know, it's really one of the main words it's dealing with is prudence. It's wisdom of prudence. And I believe in Proverbs it talks about to be prudent in business. You know, so it's having the understanding, having the how to carry it out, not just agreeing and going forth with something or actually applying something without fully knowing the how-tos. You know, the basic difference between Sophia and Phronesis wisdom is that Sophia is theoretical and Phronesis is practical. Sophia is theoretical and Phronesis is practical. So it's a practical wisdom. It's a hands-on, it's a carry-it-out, it's an A to Z, you know, plan. Sophia has to do with a man's mind and thought, and Phronesis has to do with his life and conduct and action. So when we see even young people and we tell them, you know, well, that's not wisdom in what you're doing right there. We're talking about the way that they're carrying out their conduct or their action. It's not being carried out with proper Phronesis wisdom. Hallelujah. Excuse me. So it's very a practical, hands-on application. That's that area that some people are lacking. They can see the big picture. They believe in the big picture. But when it comes to the practical application, they lack in that wisdom. And, you know, Christian believers, as far as their salvation and walking with God, that's where some of the things are missed when you're talking about somebody transferring from salvation, converted, and they start being discipled. Some of the practical wisdom of God is not there because they're fresh and young. And as they continue to be taught and become, and as they continue to be teachable, then they start understanding the practicality of God. You know, even some of the teaching out here, as I've been saying, you know, off and on, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but really deal with this full inflated doctrine of money that has teeter-tottered out of place. I absolutely believe in finances. I believe that God will financially give us the supply we need in the works of the Lord in our daily lives and things like that. But when it becomes such a focus that everything we base what God do is based on us getting a financial return, then we know that we're teeter-tottering out of a practical wisdom because the practicality of the Phronesis wisdom is that us to understand God's bigness. You know, that wisdom is attached to Phronesis because it first gives us to understand God's vastness, God's, you know, the big picture. When we understand the big picture, we know how to make application in our daily life. And that's what causes us to live. You know, God gave a big picture. Matter of fact, it comes to thought in Matthew chapter 6. You know, we focus definitely on Matthew 6 and 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Well, the these things deals with the rest of the verses prior to verse 33. And the God was given the big picture when he said, take no thought for what you may eat or what you drink. You know, don't think about tomorrow because tomorrow takes care of itself. It's not practical, but God is given a big picture. So he was talking with a Sophia wisdom, hallelujah. But the practical Phronesis of that, when you're taking no thought, means that now you got to understand how does God's word tell us that he's going to take care of us, even though he said don't take no thought about it, and that's because he already have a plan in place, a how-to that's in place to take care of you every day of your life. When he speaks in the scripture and he tells us that that the righteous is never, he's never seen the righteous forsaken, David said, nor his seed begging bread, you know, there's a how-to that's not described in that verse on how does that happen, how does a person not have. And so when we have an imbalanced teaching, as I was saying earlier, when it comes to be in balance, then we get out of the sight of God's compartments of wisdom, and now we start applying worldly wisdom. And in worldly wisdom, there's not a big picture. There's always a picture of what is best for you, what makes you feel good, what is beneficial for your fullness. And so it leaves out the plan of God that actually has made the fullness of our life already. You know, in the scripture it says, you know, that and it's been interpreted just in the paraphrase of saying it's already been done. You know, God describes his works and things that have been established. Well, that's the big picture. But how we actually get it to work inside of our life is knowing how to step by step take those things and make them practical in our life. It's the same way that we deal with how do we start the ministry? God gave me a ministry. How do I get a building in? And how I'm going to set up the ministry, how I'm going to do the finances. All of that deals with the area of phronesis wisdom. Hallelujah. I want to read that scripture out of Luke that I have for that phronesis wisdom. I believe it's in Luke 4. Let me check and make sure. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Always want to attach scripture as much as possible to each area of these wisdoms. You know, that phronesis wisdom is the wisdom that many of God's people have lacked. Many of us have lacked. Us, I'm speaking to myself first. In my early years as walking with God, there were definitely some very unwise decisions. Some of them even dealt with men and women of God. Hallelujah. And, of course, it revolved around money. Hallelujah. You know, I remember one time me and my first wife that had passed away, I remember one time my wife went for counseling. We was dealing with certain finances in the home, and she went to as a matter of fact, I believe it was Catholic Charities. I'm not for sure, but I think that's what it was. And, you know, they interview you and take you through a process of counseling and see how you do your affairs before they make that input. They want to help you. They don't want to just give you money. They want to make sure that you'll be able to be sustainable after that. And after they did an examination, they, you know, it's hard. You know, when people are committed in Christ, it sounds hard to you, and especially, truthfully, if you're really religious, and when I say religious, I'm talking about out of the balance of walking with God, someone tell you if you just give a little less, you know, then you'll have money in your pocket. And at that point in time, the way you've been indoctrinated, you know, you feel like that's ungodly counsel. Because you don't feel like you should give a little less money because you're believing and have a premise in your mind and your thoughts that God is blessing you, you know. So why would you do something like that? But the reality was that we was giving too much money to the church. And people that preach about money will definitely tell you there's no such thing as giving too much money to the church. But that's not practical wisdom. So they don't teach you phronesis wisdom when they're speaking to us in that context. My God, I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost on that one. They don't teach you the practical wisdom on, well, you know what, trust God, but do not sow no money beyond what's going to cause your household not to be in its proper place, not for it to survive. You know, the scripture tells us the first place that we're supposed to have in order is our home. How do I know that? Because when the Bible tells us in Timothy the qualifications of someone that's going to rule God's house, it says, how can you rule God's house well? And I mean, how can you rule God's house and you don't rule your own house well? And so for somebody to tell me the way to deal with my finances, and they don't directly say, take and give me your rent or things like that. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that the way that it's projected, that if you give to God, no matter what your situation, because of these scriptures that they tell us, that if I give to God, that no matter, because of these scriptures, God's got to bless us. Well, there's something that's opposite to that. And I don't mean to go here because we're not talking about money tonight. But it's very important to understand the phronesis wisdom, even of some of the error I know that I have done in my personal life in giving because I didn't know better because they wasn't teaching me the know better, the how-to wisdom. They was teaching me how to empty my pockets into theirs. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And so I remember my wife, my first wife, got it prophetically from the Lord, and she gave me an analogy. She said, because I'm a giver, and I'm pretty sure many of you listening to me are givers, And I'm a giver. You know, I sow all into the kingdom of God. I'm 100% in. I myself, personally, I'm not a 10%er. When God met me on the street corner and I was on crack, I didn't have no bank account. I didn't have no place to live. I didn't have no car. I didn't have no home. And on that day, I made a commitment, as the scripture has said, that everything I have belonged to God. People say that, and for them, it has different dimensions. But for me, it's practical, because that's the way God met me. And it's something that really, for me, it keeps me conscious of my salvation and God, knowing that no matter what I come into, that it really belongs to God, because it's only by his hand that I've come into that. And so I remember one day she said to me, she said, let me give you this analogy. She said, the man of God asked for $100, for $50. And she said, you can give 25 and God will be all right. But because the way that you press, you'll give 50, you know, and really it was in your means to give 25. Meaning that though I physically had the 50 in my hand and in my pocket, I needed that other 25 to do some other things. So now I'm a suffer outside of those things and waiting for God to bless me, even though I gave the 50. See, there's a promise that's not a reality when we deal with phronesis wisdom. It's practical that this is the way God set things up with us. Even if we have a budget, we know we have a certain amount that we can give. And no, God doesn't put us on a budget in the sense of where people, you know, people say, well, you're on a budget, and that's why you're stuck at that. You can't get no more unless you sow more. You know, if you sow more, then God promises he'll do this and do that and all those different things like that. But God is the one that gave me the income capability I had. Then he gave me the wisdom on how to manage that I have. And so that's why even from a African-American culture, we're raised, and even in part of the church teachings through the years, has put us in a position that we live above our means. And that's not practical. That's not phronesis wisdom. It's not a wisdom that is in a right thinking that God would put us in. You know, Christ didn't live outside of what he had. I know they teach that he was rich, he was wealthy, seamless garments, and you know, Judas was the treasurer, and so he must have had money. You know, all these assumptions of this great abundance, but we never saw Christ living in abundance, even though we heard about Peter from Paul's description of Paul having a right to be financed, meaning to be sold into for his spiritual wisdom, but it doesn't project Peter as being a super great wealthy person either. I'm not saying he wasn't doing better than Paul was, because Paul was not receiving what was rightfully his, because he wanted to reach he wanted the gospel to go further to a people that wouldn't be able to hear the gospel because of all of the money situation. So he didn't want them to feel like they couldn't receive from him because they would have to sow to him. So even today, people feel like if they don't have it to sow to the church, they don't go. They don't have it to sow to a man or woman of God, so they don't go hear their teaching. They don't support the ministry in any way at all because they have nothing to give them. And so Paul did not want that to happen. And so that was a phronesis wisdom that Paul applied. He applied a wisdom, a how-to wisdom. I have a right to be sold natural things for me sowing spiritual things. But let me look at the wisdom on this. If I get the finances, though I'm in need, if I get those finances from people that really don't have it to give, I'm going to have my right fulfilled, but it's going to bring out a wrong. And so that's what he looked at, that in the end result, his image being made to look wrong because there were false prophets and false teachers in the land, and they were prudent in propagating people of finances. As a matter of fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, or I think Second Thessalonians chapter 3, that story where he talks about a man don't work, he don't eat, it's been misinterpreted so many different ways out of that chapter because he was speaking on there was these particular brethren that were trying to get the rights of the apostles. and they wasn't even preaching the gospel. It says it in the scripture very plain that y'all don't even preach the gospel. So he wasn't even talking about them just having job, you know, at a factory or whatever. He was talking about they were doing no work at all. So when he described that scripture, man don't work, don't eat, they didn't have a right to be taken care of, to be fed or anything, because they wasn't even preaching the gospel. Many times that scripture is twisted, but there's a how-to in there. Paul used that and did that area as a how-to what? He used Phronesis wisdom in order to reach the masses that was not being reached because of finances. Matter of fact, we see that with Jesus. I'm kind of flowing here a little bit. I'm sorry. In Matthew, we find Jesus talking about when he went to Peter and them, when he went to the disciples of John the Baptist came to examine him. You know, he went, when you study the scripture, he went to the poor people. The people that were poor is who Jesus went to. That's why we find him doing more giving than it is receiving. And I know all the, you know, prosperity talks about the receiving. But Jesus was doing all the giving. He gave the bread. He gave the fish. He went and got the finances out of, told Peter to go get the finances out of the mouth of the fish in order to pay the temple tax. But he told Peter in that analogy that, you know, what father, what king has his children, you know, to pay tax. So he went and did it so at that point in time they wouldn't have, you know, any trouble or whatever. He wanted to keep the peace, so he gave that. But Phronesis wisdom was practical. Jesus used a practical wisdom. He had a right not to pay the taxes. He didn't believe and knew that that wasn't correct. But in that moment, he used the how-to wisdom. You know, how, what is the greater situation that's going to come out of this? So he chose to go ahead and give them taxes that time. But he taught that principle to Peter. When Peter came, he said, did I tell you, paraphrasing, he said, did I tell you that we pay tax? He said, what king has his children to pay tax? There's no kingdom that queens or princesses or so forth, they don't pay tax in the same kingdom that they're an heir to. You don't find the Queen of England's grandchildren, they're not paying no taxes over there in that kingdom, because you don't pay taxes to your own kingdom. It's something that they're heir to. And the Bible says we're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. And so he used a how-to wisdom in that situation. He took his right, and he said, I'm going to take that right and put it to the side for the benefit of a long-term purpose. So he used Phronesis wisdom to show forth a Sophia wisdom. So he looked at a bigger picture. And so that's why Paul did what he did, you know, with his finances. So in Luke 1 and 17, as we deal with Phronesis wisdom, the scripture says, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So we find in the scripture, we find a practical wisdom. We find it a practical wisdom that he's bringing forth inside of this situation. There's a how-to, because there's a future time, as the scripture's describing, the wisdom of the righteous, that the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a prepared people for the Lord. I would even say that scripture is dealing with us right now. You know, a Phronesis wisdom that's given us the wisdom of the righteous that God is reinstituting back into the church, that we may be prepared for the Lord. Hallelujah. We may be prepared for the Lord's return and the Lord's coming. It's going to take us to understand this area of wisdom for us to be prepared. You know, the scripture says in Matthew 3:3, this is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of the one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. So even when we talk about John the Baptist and being a forerunner for Jesus Christ, he was in a Phronesis wisdom that he was applying. He wasn't giving the people the big picture. He was giving them the how-to. Prepare yourself. Be baptized. you know, I'm baptizing with water. He that come after me baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So he was giving a phronesis wisdom to the people. He was giving them a how to get yourself prepared to receive the Messiah, to receive God, the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless God. We bless God for you tonight, Holy Spirit. We bless your holy and mighty name. It says he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. Hallelujah. It's still talking about, you know, Christ. And it says that before the Messiah, he shall go before the Messiah. It's talking about John the Baptist. The connection here leads us to suppose that the word him refers to the Lord, their God, in the previous verse. If so, then it will follow that the Messiah was the Lord God of Israel, a character abundantly given him in other parts of the New Testament. And his assignment of John the Baptist was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And by doing that, now the children was going to receive the how-to wisdom. See, the kids today, the young teens today, the gang members and all of those situations that's going on, they're depending on each other's wisdom and insight, and they don't have how-to because they ain't been around long enough. You know, I even have a son. You know, my son's 16, and, you know, they get that age. They think they know certain things because of their everyday life. But even in a chart, you know, that I looked at each stage a child grows in that stage they're learning how to be an adult. But a lot of times they take it on themselves and believe they are already, and they don't have the wisdom. I was telling my son the other day that 16 does not equal out to 47. 16 and 47, it's not the same numbers. And I was telling him about the 30 years experience that I have that he don't have. And so that's more how-to wisdom than he has yet to learn. And so when we see here in Scripture, in this verse, it's talking about turning the children back to the hearts of the fathers and the fathers to the children, because the children need that phronesis wisdom, otherwise they won't be prepared for the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So now we've definitely covered phronesis wisdom very extensively, because it's a very, very important part of our life. We must have that part of our life working adequately in order to understand the big picture of God. The last area of wisdom that we're going to share on tonight, the third area, is sunesis wisdom, S-U-N-E-S-I-S, S-U-N-E-S-I-S, sunesis. Sunesis wisdom is it's a running together. We understand it as networking. When we use the word network, we're talking about sunesis wisdom, a running together, a flowing together with, of course, a knowledge and an understanding, and it's how to join things, I'm going to use another, situation here. It's where we network. It's where even when you deal with businesses and people come together and they sit down and they say, well, they deal with the how-to, but the how-to in connecting their ventures or connecting their ideas. You know, the same way when we deal with the body of Christ, it's going to take sunesis wisdom that the description in Scripture that talks about amen. Sorry, we got this right there. Sorry about that. But yeah, so as I was saying, the wisdom of the sunesis wisdom, when we're dealing with the area of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the word after we get past the gifts, and it talks about us being many members in one body, you know, it takes sunesis wisdom. in order to know how we network together, how to connect together, how to operate with each other, and at the same time have honor one to another. That takes Sunisa's wisdom. It's a networking. It's an understanding from that situation that I have something that you need, you have something that I need, I got something you have something that I have. I mean, I have something, you know, that you need, you got something that I need, I have what you need, you have what I need, and we come together on that basis, and that's what makes the network happen. Let's go to the scripture once again over in Luke. Let's go to Luke 2 and 47. Luke 2 and 47. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Okay, Luke 2 and 47, and it says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. You know, and it's talking about Christ. Also, in Matthew 7:28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. In Matthew 13:54, it says, coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. So he had the big picture wisdom working, the Sophia. He had the phronesis wisdom working, and as this area describes, the sunesis working. He knew how to bring a networking of understanding what God's will was with already what was written. And see, it was just people not accepting what he was saying. They didn't want to accept it, but he gave the wisdom and the insight and how it all fit together. You know, the word shows us when Jesus stated the two commandments, he said in one of them, he said that the Ten Commandments hanged on these two things, you know, to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, all your being. And then he said to love your neighbor like you love yourself. And all of these, the commandments hang on all of these. So he knew how to network what already was known into what was unknown and made clarity with it. He brought clear and concise clarity into understanding, you know, to the minds and the hearts of people. So Sunisa's wisdom is a wisdom that's major understanding. I use that phrase. When I say major understanding, you really know how to explain and express the joining up together. You know how to bring the network together. You have the sight and the insight to know exactly what those things are that brings a common ground between you and you know, the counterpart, whether, like I said, it's in business or whether it's, you know, in ministry, your fellow brother or sister, even just as believers. You know, I said ministry, but also even just as believers, you know how to network with your brother or your sister in Christ because you know the basis of joining together with them. You know, when we get beyond scripture and what the Bible says, and we should love each other and all those things that the word tells us plainly, but then when you deal with the practical, the phronesis of it, how to actually cause that to happen, you start to look at the characteristics and the traits of the person that brings an identification from you to them and from them to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we covered tonight Sophia wisdom, which is the big picture wisdom. We covered phronesis wisdom, which is the practical wisdom, the how-to wisdom. And we covered also the sunesis wisdom, which is the wisdom that caused us to network. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We understand in some other scriptures where we talk about in Revelation 7:12, Jesus speaks of the wisdom of God, as wisdom is the property of God. In Luke 11:33, Paul also speaks of the wisdom of God. you know, in Romans 11 and 33, and the manifold wisdom of God. So we see the manifold wisdom of God in 11 and 33. And now when we understand, you know, these three areas, when we think of the manifold wisdom of God, we think about all three areas in Romans 11 and 33. In Ephesians 3 and 10, it identifies to know God is the only true wisdom. So it gives us, in Ephesians 3 and 10, the knowledge and wisdom of knowing God. You know, as I've quoted tonight already, I believe, you know, this, that the word that says in Scripture that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So that's to know God is to bring you true wisdom. We also have wisdom is the characteristic of Jesus. In Revelation 7 and 12, it also identifies that wisdom being the characteristic of Jesus. Jesus grew in wisdom when he was a lad in Nazareth. So when the Bible talks about Christ growing in stature and fame, meaning that the wisdom that was matured inside of his life gave him notoriety when people heard it. Now, how do I know that? I know, like I said, I'm not beating money, but that's just what we're dealing with in this church today, that rising in stature didn't mean he had wealth and things, and he didn't grow in things and jets and cars and all those things. And that don't mean that it's wrong to have that, but that's not what that word meant. It talked about Christ growing in the wisdom of God from a child on up in this earthly realm. He grew in stature, in the stature of God, in God's wisdom. Hallelujah. In Luke 2:40 and 52, when he preached in Nazareth, the people asked where he acquired the wisdom, which was so evident in his words. I've said this, and it's one of the things that I do quote often, and that is in Ecclesiastes 2:26, God says that he gives to those that please him wisdom, knowledge, and joy. And to the sinner, he gives the job to heap up wealth. So when you look at the image of Christ being raised up in stature of wisdom, then you understand that God raised him up with wisdom, and as he spoke, the people that were raised up in finances sowed into him. You know, we see that with Peter and the apostles, rather. We see that with the apostles in the book of Acts, that when they ministered, the whole town, because of the wisdom that came out of them, because of the practical wisdom, because of the broad and vast wisdom of God, that Sophia wisdom, the big picture, because of the phronesis and because of the sunesis, of him being able to express to them the apostles preaching the gospel of connection, of together, of networking, of helping one another, then it caused the wealthy of the town to come out of their sin mentality and cause them to take their finances, some of their possessions, and sell them that everybody would have. You know, we see that expression. That's a New Testament expression, but we also see it in Nehemiah, when Nehemiah addressed the Jews, the fellow, you know, Judeans, and when he also addressed the government officials of the Jewish, you know, nation at Jerusalem, and he rebuked them and told them to give the people back their money with interest because they was fleecing their own people. And so we always find that when the wisdom of God is in play and it's truly his wisdom, then it causes those outside of God's kingdom to not only marvel but to sow into that and to make everything balanced. So God has a balance. He gives us to get wisdom, knowledge, and to have joy. And he gives the sinner, those outside the kingdom, he gives them the job to labor and get finances and heap up. And the scripture says so that the one that pleases God, that the one that has the wisdom, the knowledge, and the joy, that they sow into that. You know, so people sow into your joy. You know, as a side note, stay full of joy. You know, people will sow into your joy and into your knowledge and the wisdom of God that's in your life. Hallelujah. You know, wisdom is the distinguishing feature of men who were great. Solomon had, you know, he had wisdom. Joseph had wisdom, you know, which kept him in the right way and raised him to greatness in Egypt. Moses was trained in wisdom. We find that in Acts 7 and 2, the qualification of the first office bearers in the church, the seven, were that they must be men that was full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom, you know, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible described of Stephen and the seven. You know, Stephen had a wisdom with which he confounded the Jews in his debates with them in Acts 6 and 10. The prophets and the wise men are classed together in Matthew 23 and 34, which is what we read. And it is when a man knows God that he is really wise. Excuse me, Matthew 23 and 34 is the scripture for that, what I just read. It is when a man knows God that he is really wise. And so these are the three realms, the three areas of wisdom that we must be able to balance in our life, that dealing with each situation of our life, that we're able to operate in well-balanced, and we're able to grow in the stature of wisdom, and it causes us to grow that in our life and in our administrations to other people's lives. You know, and as we know, some people have more of one side than the other. You know, some people have a how-to, but they don't know how to network. And some people see the big picture, and they know how to network, but they don't have the how-to. And so the full balance is being able to operate in all three adequately, you know, by the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I thank y'all for joining me tonight and sharing with the three realms of wisdom and our school of wisdom. And I want to open the lines to those that are on the call for opportunity, you know, to share and give some feedback about tonight. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Anyone wants to share?
Yes, sir. This is Grace and peace, Apostle Davis. This is Brandon Miller.
Grace and peace, Brandon.
Yeah, I got much revelation. I was only on there for about a good half hour, but I got much revelation from it about the how you say you were talking about the phonesis, I think it was the phonesis wisdom, and about the sowing and the tithe and offerings, and how churches like tell you like the wrong stuff. But I just pray that I would get out of that if I'm in that, because I do the 10% tithe, and I just recently sowed offering, so I did the sowing, and I just prayed it was a good one. It wasn't a foolish show or a foolish talk. So I just praise God and thank you for the revelation and wisdom from yourself, Pastor Keith Davis.
Amen. Well, bless God for it, and I bless God for you, Brandon. And I know I hadn't heard from you in a while, but I knew, you know, God's things, and you know, it's a learning process, and we learn, and you know, we know tithe is correct, and our giving is correct. It's just us having the right measure, and sometimes, you know, in our process, we have been manipulated in our measure. That's just a fact. But I thank God for, you know, for you sharing and your openness. Is there anyone else? Praise the Lord. Okay. God, we thank God for everyone tonight. Yeah, God, for everyone that shared and participated, you know, by phone or by the internet. Once again, the recordings are available each week. They're available for you to play them back and take notes or anything such like that. Be encouraged by them. Our website is socmi.net. You can learn more about me and my wife, read our bio, and some. We have some initial foundation lessons there at discipleship and leadership training. And you also can sow an offering as God would lead you to be able to sow into the work of the Lord that we're doing concerning the body of Christ. So at this time, I want to say a closing prayer. And then we may depart each other's presence, but not the presence of the Lord. Father God, in your mighty name, we thank you, God, tonight for your word that you've sown it deep into our heart, giving us understanding and insight and illuminating us in wisdom, in the areas of wisdom that we may know how to apply each area in our life, that we may be well balanced in our administrations. Father God, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading and guiding us and directing us, for the word says that you are the Spirit of truth and you are the leader teaching God through all truth. So we pray, Holy Spirit, to continue to teach us in the wisdoms of God in these three areas and these realms in the Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen and amen. I'd like to thank all of you once again for participating and being a part of the School of Wisdom tonight. You have a glorious evening. Grace, mercy, and peace.